vanishing point.
Tonight, Hair of the Dog by J.J. McCall.
Good evening.
Oh, sorry about the acoustics in this vaulted chamber. What's that? I can't hear. Well, perhaps if we just... there. Better? This is what technicians like to call the dead room. Oh, of course, it's only sound which is killed here. Or at least most of the time. But listen, stranger things have happened on this sound stage called the Vanishing Point.
So, that's the music and record libraries you've seen. Master control.
To say nothing of a pool table in the technician's lounge.
Right. And here's our radio sound effects room.
Pokey little place. Oh, dog, I can hardly wait to start.
I wish I didn't have to leave town the second you're going into production.
Listen, by the time you get back, Fit to Print will be in the can.
And you'll be writing your impromptu acceptance speech for an ACTRA award.
All I want is a full-time position.
Just show us you're as good at radio as you are with stage production, and you'll get tenure.
Oh, thanks, Doug. Doug, look at these coconut shells. And a washboard? Oh, you know, it still amazes me that electronics haven't surpassed this stuff. Oh, and a plunger. Can you believe it?
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Oh, Clarence.
Mr. Braddock.
Fibber McGee and Molly's closet, anyone?
Stacy.
Excuse me, but that's not where the plunger belongs. This is where the plunger belongs. Just right here.
Clarence, forgive us for bursting into your domain like this. I thought you were still on holidays.
You erred, Mr. Braddock, and the washboard goes there. Just right there.
I've just been showing our newest drama producer around.
That is your prerogative, Mr. Braddock.
Clarence is our senior radio sound effects man, Stacy. Been with us, how long now, Clarence?
43 years, Mr. Braddock.
Now, don't let the glasses and brown cardigan fool you, Stace. Rumor has Clarence cutting up quite a figure in our Golden Oldies Club.
You jest, Mr. Braddock.
Say, you two haven't been properly introduced. Stacy Livingston, meet Clarence Wilkie.
As in Win with Wilkie.
Win with Wilkie?
Clarence's own little jest, isn't it, Clarence?
That is correct, Mr. Braddock.
Remember the old political slogan, Win with Wilkie?
Can't say that I do.
Of course, too young.
Oh, 43 years as a sound effects man.
25 years as a radio technician. 18 as the sound effects specialist. And the coconut shells, Miss Livingston, go here. Just right here.
Clarence Wilkie, you get your nose out of that electronics magazine. Dinner's almost ready.
Good.
You know, Clarence, that pile of magazines is so old they should be bronzed.
You could not see the print if they were bronzed, though, Elsie.
Well, the potatoes are just about done. What are you reading?
Well, it's...
Low-frequency sound drives French mad. Oh, now that is interesting. Oh, excuse me for leaning over you like this.
It happened years ago. They got terribly sick.
Do you know, Clarence, you haven't lost one hair in your head.
Of course, low-frequency sound is highly dangerous. It can do just terrible damage to people else.
Let's see, what does it say? Oh, yes, kept throwing up and all the rest of it and finally went as crazy as bedbugs? Your father was like that.
Hmm?
Kept the full head of hair until the day he died.
Well, that's the will case for you.
Let's see, what else does it say? because they were sitting near an air duct from the air conditioning, and it was sending out low-frequency sound. Mm. Well, but Clarence, wouldn't they hear it?
No, Elsa, you can't hear low-frequency sound. Think of a vibration so low, you're not aware of a thing.
Well, you and the radio station with sound and all that, you better be careful, Clarence. Oh, say, what's that new woman down there like?
Suffice to say, she smokes and wears blue jeans.
Oh, my.
We have our first meeting tomorrow. Fit to print, the play's called. Five-part serial. 15 minutes per episode.
I just don't know how you do it.
All about the problems of lesbians bringing up children.
It's true, you inspired me into puberty without me ever touching you.
I still can't believe you're working here and will be my technician. Mm-hmm. You seeing Clarence, too?
Yeah, just for a sec. Clarence? Clarence?
Enter.
Oh, Clarence, there you are. Going over our sounds, I hear.
For 27 minutes here have I been, Miss Livingston. You did say 9 o'clock. Hi, Peter.
Clarence, would you believe this? Stacy and I were in junior high together. Well, she's much older than me, of course.
Oh.
Which would indicate that Miss Livingston failed a number of grades. Or you skipped a number. I myself skipped grade 3. Yes, I was a little skipper.
Oh. Listen, Clarence, I've got to take my car in for repair. You mind giving me a lift home a few nights next week?
It's on my way home. I shall be glad to, Pete.
Great. Okay, you two, see you tomorrow.
Goodbye, Pete, and thank you.
Studio C! Bye, Pete!
Bye.
And this is the last sound sequence you finished?
That is correct, Miss Livingston. Had I received the script 2 weeks ago, I would have finished them all.
But, Clarence, you were on holiday 2 weeks ago, and I hadn't even started.
That is correct, Miss Livingston. Many experienced radio producers would say, well done, Clarence. You have accomplished wonders in the time allotted you.
Oh, I'm not saying anything against what you've done.
Finishing as you have, Clarence, numbers 2, 3, and almost 5.
You've done wonders, Clarence.
Thank you, Miss Livingston.
But what about the other episodes?
I am quite prepared to make the sacrifice, Miss Livingston.
Sacrifice, Clarence?
The dedicated sound effects specialist willingly forgoes his private life for the sake of the production.
You mean overtime?
That is correct, Miss Livingston.
Uh-oh. And when we're in the middle of production, I won't have time to listen to the new sound effects you put together.
This world is built on trust, Miss Livingston.
Clarence, it's my ass on the line. Contract. Okay, Barbara and Suzette. The read-through sounds good.
Oh, that's good.
Move in just a fraction towards the microphone, Suzette.
Uh-huh.
Good. And Barbara, remember not to rattle your script pages.
Oh, right, Stacy, sorry. Okay.
Let's keep the same mood. Tense but controlled. That was a very nice read-through, you two. Keep the feeling.
Okay, great.
Tape's rolling, Stacy. You want an idea?
Tape's rolling, so this is episode 1, scene 1, and page 1. We'll start with the background sounds, and I'll cue you. All right, then. Oh, did you pick that up, Clarence?
Yes, I did, Miss Livingston.
Okay, take one.
Tea at the Bon Ton, how civilized.
Thank God you could come, Jill.
A little tea, ladies?
Yes, please, and lemon for me.
Nice! I haven't heard these first sound effects.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been hell. You have no idea.
Not now. Yes, and a little honey for me, thanks.
Jill, I can't just sit here and pretend nothing's going on. It's David.
What's that? What is that sound?
David?
Sorry, Stace, I never hear anything but levels.
Oh, you, listen.
Jill, he's actually threatening to kidnap Vanessa.
It's seagulls.
Oh.
It's flocks of seagulls.
Oh, my God, Diane, he wouldn't dare.
Can I interest you ladies in our pastry tray?
No, thanks.
Hold it a minute, everyone. Just hold it a minute.
No, you have to press that other key for Clarence to hear you too, Stace.
Stop, everyone. Stop for just a minute. For God's sake, Clarence, kill the sound. Clarence, are those seagulls I'm hearing in the tea room?
That is correct, Miss Livingston.
Why am I hearing seagulls in the heart of a downtown tea room, Clarence?
The windows are open, Miss Livingstone.
There are no windows to open at the Bon Ton Tea Room, Clarence, and it is not near the sea.
We are not doing a documentary. With all due respect, Miss Livingstone.
Seagulls are not in the script, Clarence.
A fortuitous afterthought, Miss Livingstone.
It's January.
Oh, January.
Even if there were windows to open, which there are not, why would they be open on a cold January day?
If I may be permitted to say so, Miss Livingstone, I always think it's our duty here in the regions to present as, well, as pleasant a view of our province as possible to the rest of Canada. Oh, call it propaganda, if you will.
This idiot's mind works like an idiot's. That's how this idiot's mind works.
Shh, he'll hear you.
No, the key's off. Okay, everybody. Clarence?
Yes, Miss Livingstone?
We'll post sound later.
Truth to tell, my own mother once had 5 roses blooming in January in her garden.
We'll post sound later, Clarence.
A moss rose bush it was. 1948.
And around the dear ruin, each wish of my heart would entwine itself verdantly still.
Oh, well. Elsie, I am so ashamed. Believe you me, you deserve more than that accompaniment.
Oh, nonsense. Absolute nonsense. You sounded just fine to me. Lovely, in fact.
If Miss Tough and Brilliant were here, she'd say we'll post the sound later.
Tough and Brilliant? Oh, that's what the newspaper article called your new producer.
We're into episode 3, and she's hardly used 1 sound sequence I put together.
Well, no wonder you couldn't play tonight. Not that you couldn't, of course, but just no wonder.
She's going to add these sound effects later. I wouldn't be surprised if she used one of the junior sound effects men to do it.
Oh, she wouldn't do that.
Wouldn't she just, Elsie?
Oh, I don't know how you stand it.
Not a wink's sleep. Not one wink since she started there.
You are looking awfully peaky, Clarence.
Peaky does not cover the half of it. Elsie, do you know what she called me the very first day? An idiot. Of course, she thought the key in the control room was shut off.
An idiot? I've never in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you, a little skipper.
We go back a long way, Elsie.
Oh, come on, Clarence. Let's sit down on the couch. We can find a spot amongst all these old magazines.
An idiot.
Well, the whole thing is maddening. 2 years before retirement. A retirement so richly deserved, Clarence.
Thank you, Elsie.
Well, I mean it, Clarence. So richly deserved. With a decent pension. And now this.
And truth to tell, Elsie, if Stacy Livingstone's production impresses the brass, she will be on permanent contract.
No, Clarence.
I will have to endure her for the next 2 years.
Oh.
How strange. I opened this magazine at precisely the article about low-frequency sound.
The night I made the scalloped potatoes.
Yes. Low-frequency sound drives French mad. Well. Well, God works in mysterious ways, Elsie. Come on. Let's try that piece again. And now, the second relay goes right in here. Clarence Wilkie, sometimes your brilliance surprises even me.
Oh, Clarence. For God's sake. I didn't see you there for a minute.
I've been spending some time here in the control room, Pete.
Oh, that's unusual. Anything I can help you with?
No, thank you, Pete. Everything is under control now. No pun intended.
And fade out.
Very nice, you two. That's a take.
Oh, good stuff.
Because there were no sound effects in that particular scene.
Come on, Stace. Clarence will hear you.
The key's off.
I hope.
Okay, Harvey, you can go.
See you tomorrow, Harvey.
See you later.
Bye, Harvey. Bye-bye, Harvey. Now, that worked very nicely. Take a break, everyone.
Oh, thank you.
I'm dying for coffee. Oh, meet you in the cafeteria, Stace?
No, Pete. I want to stay here and go over the next scene.
All right. See you in a half an hour.
Yeah. Okay, Pete.
I am correct in assuming you are alone, Miss Livingston?
Sure. Right, Clarence.
May I bring you back a coffee from the cafeteria, Miss Livingston?
No, I don't... Oh, why not? Make it black.
Do not budge, Miss Livingston. Pete and I shall talk in the cafeteria for 26 minutes, Miss Livingston, and then we shall return. I bearing coffee.
Make it 27, Clarence. Be my guest.
Why, thank you, Miss Livingston. Sugar, Miss Livingston.
So do I, Clarence. Now, remember Barbara and Suzette. This is the pivotal scene in the series.
Mm, right.
This calls for extreme sensitivity.
Oh, don't I know it. From laughter to tears in a blink.
And remember to give me the sense of walking, okay?
All right.
Okay. We rehearsed a tape this time. The mood seems nice.
Tape's rolling, Stace.
Okay. Scene 6, page 13, rehearsal to tape, and we'll start with Clarence. I can't believe it. It's perfect.
Oh, this was such a good idea, Jill. The beach.
Mm. Yeah.
Remember when we came here when we were little?
Mm.
Oh, and you taught me all the songs you'd learned at camp.
Oh, yes.
Remember this one? At the boarding house where I live, remember? Everything is growing old.
I remember that. A foghorn. Nice little touch.
Long white hairs upon
the butter. Everything is covered in wool.
Oh, dear, that is the first time I've laughed in absolutely...
Oh, no.
Oh, Jill.
There I go again.
Oh.
I can't seem to stop crying.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Diane. I'm sorry. I just can't...
Oh,
he's ruined it. He's absolutely ruined it. Give me a minute or two out there, you two.
Come on, Stacey.
Now I gotta redo the scene.
Later.
And he has 2 more years before he retires, so I have to put up with that little twit, twerk, twerk. No,
okay.
I'm gonna ask for one of the other sound effects then.
Oh. Good heavens.
Stacey, what's wrong?
Oh. Nothing. Just a headache.
You okay?
Sure.
Look, you can't change in midstream. Stacey's Clarence has done the preparation for the series.
Preparation?
Yes.
We'll be just another moment in here, Barbara and Suzette.
Okay, goodbye.
For God's sake, Clarence, turn off the foghorn.
He's a senior man. He's always assigned to new producers. He'll be working with you for the next 2 years until he retires.
What next 2 years? If this series is no good, I won't get a full-time position. I'll be out. And if he's involved, there's no way Fit to Print can be good.
We'll post the sound. You'll see it'll be all right.
Even the acting will be shot to hell soon. And we're already way over schedule, which means over budgie.
Over budgie?
I meant over budget. Good way to impress Doug Braddock. No, Braddock.
Are you feeling all right?
Sure. Just a funny feeling in my stomach now. It's nothing. That damn coffee Clarence brought me.
Oh, come on, Stace. Clarence only has 2 years to go.
And they say doctors cover up for each other?
Oh, come on,
Mark
Stace.
My words, Pete, 2 years or no 2 years, if this keeps up, Wee Willie Winky is in for one big fat shock.
Diane, I don't know who I am anymore. All of this is tearing me apart.
Jill, please, pull yourself together.
Oh,
Heat? Am I to be nared spuffing? I mean, spared nothing?
I'm sorry, Diane. I know how you hate tears. I'm sorry.
Stop, everyone. Does it, Pete? That man has got to go. When Doug Braddock gets back, I am going to get Clarence fired if it's the last thing I ever do.
Oh,
But are you sure you heard her say it?
She said it all right, Elsie. Thought she had the key turned off. Yelled it, in fact. Just as I was fading up the sound of a Coast Guard cutter. I am going to get Clarence fired if it's the last thing I ever do.
Could she do it, though, Clarence?
Of course not. She hasn't got the power.
According to that newspaper article on her, she does know important people in Toronto, though, Clarence.
Of course. The corporation's laying off so many people lately.
Didn't you say that they even got rid of some very senior people?
With these cutbacks, Elsie, anyone's in danger.
Oh, my goodness, Clarence.
And don't forget, she called me an idiot. She could belittle me right out of the corporation.
Well, tough peanuts to that, Clarence. You've got to fight back.
Oh, I'm fighting back, Elsie. Believe you me, I'm fighting back. But from now on, it's war.
To us.
All right, stop, everyone. Take a break. 10 minutes.
Oh, all right.
You too, Pete. Clarence, stay where you are.
See you in the cafeteria, Stacy.
No, Pete, you will not see me in the cafeteria. I have something to say to wee Willy Winky.
Stace, it's been here 43 years, remember?
43 years too long. Clarence?
Yes, Miss Livingston. Has Pete gone now, Miss Livingston?
Pete has gone, Clarence. Where was the previous scene taking place, Clarence?
The previous scene was taking place in Diane's living room, Miss Livingston.
Well done, Clarence. And where is Diane's living room?
In her house in Vancouver.
Another bullseye. Therefore, Clarence, am I going overboard in believing that Diane and Jill are not in war-torn Lebanon?
There is no question of them being in war-torn Lebanon, Miss Livingston.
Bingo. And, what are they doing in that living room? Clarence. Oh, my head. It's splitting.
Then the longer you stay in there and relax, the better. In my opinion, Miss Livingston. And in response to your question, they are opening bottles of champagne, Miss Livingston.
Exactly, Clarence. They are not leveling a village with machine gun fire. Oh, I'm feeling so sick.
Then stay where you are and relax, Miss Livingston.
Find everyone and tell them to beak. Break for half an hour. Oh, this came on so suddenly. It'll probably pass.
May I suggest an hour, Miss Livingston? Perhaps even two. The longer the better. I'll take care of everything.
Clarence, you've saved my life this week. Oh, my car is at that service station just over there.
I'm glad to be of help, Pete. I will see you.
I don't know. Stacy's in pretty rocky shape this past week, Clarence. Headaches, throwing up. I mean, every day she's asking for more and more breaks. When I get back, she seems worse than ever.
Worse than ever?
You noticed anything weird about her?
Weird, Pete?
As if her brain is sort of off mic.
I was concerned about her too, Pete, but I feel everything is going to be fine.
I wish I could share your optimism. Anyway, thanks again for the lift. See you tomorrow.
Goodbye, Pete.
You see, it's not too late. Jill, we can do it.
Oh, Diane, if I could believe that.
Believe it, Jill. Believe
it. Stop! Stop! Stop!
Easy, Stacey, easy.
Clarence! They are in the kitchen!
That is correct, Miss Livingston.
What is that sound, Clarence?
The kettle is boiling, Miss Livingston.
They are in the kitchen, Clarence. The kettle
come on,
is
Stacey,
boiling.
Calm down. Look, there's a good girl. Look, woman. There's a good person. Stacey, come on.
They're just going Stacey. To have a cup of tea, Diane and Jill. A nice, wee cup of
there,
tea.
No, Stacey.
A cup of tea. Not in the middle of a mine disaster with a whistle blowing. A cup of tea so where
now,
they'll be dashed on the stormy rocks by a tidal wave. All the little skippers carrying moss roses.
Barbara
and
Suzette, I think we better break for the day.
Oh, yeah, okay, Pete. Can we do anything?
I'll take care of it. Clarence, have you heard any of this?
Every word.
Yeah, I think you better call an ambulance. This looks pretty serious.
I have already taken that liberty, Kate.
Oh, that voice, that voice, that voice!
Stacy, please.
That voice!
What the hell's going on here?
Truth to tell, seagulls are eating...
Doug, wait a moment for you to get back. Doug, look, I'm sorry to say it, but Stacy's cracking up.
I also took the liberty of suggesting they make this a priority call.
Yeah, good, Clarence.
I'll dangle him from a lighthouse and turn on the foghorn. Truth to tell, that's what I'm going to do.
My God, I had no idea. Stacy, it's me, Doug Braddock.
You are just a fortuitous afterthought for a little skipper.
You phone for an ambulance?
Yeah, Clarence, I need some help with...
If I may presume to be of help here. Her name is Stacy Livingston.
Miss Livingston. Truth to tell, that is correct.
I'm sure I speak on behalf of all the staff, Miss Livingston, when I say it has been a great privilege working with you. They join me, I know, in wishing you the very best in the years ahead.
Tell that voice! That voice!
Stacy, we're not going to hurt you. I'll stay there in the ambulance. Come on, Stacy, let me soon be feeling just fine.
Perhaps now, Miss Livingston, is the time to consider a career change. Many have taken up gardening or crafts. For fun and profit.
That's it, Stacy. Just one foot in front of the other.
Smash
coconut shell
on his head and
then
plunge her under the sidewalk.
Clarence. There you are. Welcome back, Mr. Braddock. By being in the sound effects room, I was mainly spared. But what you have just witnessed could not have been very nice. So many hopes riding on her. Well, best to know at the beginning, I guess, if someone can or can't take the pressures of radio.
I could not agree with you more, Mr. Braddock.
So much of it is just learning how to pace yourself. That's something that obviously she never picked up.
That is correct, Mr. Braddock.
You know, in this business, you've either got it or you haven't. Oh, look at you, Clarence. 43 years, is it, with the organization?
I shall retire with full pension in 2 years, Mr. Braddock.
Imagine that. 2 years before retirement. And you've never looked better in your life.
Oh, it's you. Well, I thought you would have gone by now. You'll have to excuse me. I've got a little headache. It'll go soon enough. Where was I? Oh, yes. Amazing what one can do with a few daubs and niles in this tea can of a seagull-waving chase to the punishing point.
Hair of the Dog by J.J. McCall. Starring Donna White as Stacy Livingston and Peter Brockington as Clarence Wilkie. With Lillian Carlson as Elsie, Boyd Norman as Pete, Lee Taylor as Doug Braddock, Nicola Cavendish as Suzette, Angela Gann as Barbara, Kathleen Forget as the waitress, and David Bloom as the attendant. Original music was by Brian Tate. Series script editor is Sandra Rabinovich. Recording engineers were Gene Lovrock and Jerry Stanley. Sound effects by Chris Cutress. Production assistant, Loretta Joyce. Production secretary, Denise Cormier. Hair of the Dog was produced and directed in Vancouver by Don Kowalczuk. The executive producer of Vanishing Point is William Lane. Until next week, I'm Colin Parker, wishing you good night.